What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Hey, kids. Welcome to the Terry and Gaz Comedy Show.
What's up?
That's coming back, by the way. This is episode, what?
Yeah.
610.
Yeah, we talked about Access TV some.
Access TV some? It's a stuffy Monday. We talked about Keno.
Uh-huh.
Glove boxes. Mm-hmm. And
how Gene Simmons is an ass.
Oh, he's such a dick. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Some like it hot and some like when the heat is on. Yeah. I'm going to slowly open the curtains. Hey, kids. Welcome to the Monday show. It's the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. My name's Terry. And Gatch is over there writing on a piece of paper.
What is up?
Today, you've heard of Stormy Monday? Today's Stuffy Monday. I'll be opening the curtains and closing them all show long. And maybe a little bit of gurgling of whatever comes up. Doesn't this sound a little familiar in the background? It sounds kind of like a Metallica song I heard once.
Whoa, yeah!
Hey, James, get out of here. You don't come out till Friday, and you're trying out for Foreigner this week. Hey, now you recognize it, don't you? My mother was a witch. That's not nice to say. Got some Diamond Head rolling in the background. This is the original version of Am I Evil? Because Diamond Head is coming to Portland on Friday with Raven. Maybe we'll play some Raven on Wednesday. And Nether Regions gets to open for these guys, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Joseph Wickstrom, my Facebook friend.
Now, are they the Nether Regions, like, in accordance to Earth? Like the Nether Regions?
No, I think it's on someone's body.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if it was like, hey, check out her Nether Regions.
Yeah, I'd like to get into her Nether, get down to her Nether Regions. Or like, yeah.
Or like, what's his name on The Wire after he met Beatty and said, I was going to ask her for her panties so I could make a soup.
Ooh. That's gross.
That's gross.
It is gross, but whatever.
You'd have two flavors going on.
I asked my dad about that show. He'd never heard of it, but he doesn't have HBO. So, So as I start to keep watching it, I think that it's an underrated show because I'd never heard of it. And a lot of people who don't have HBO may not have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on Netflix now, isn't it?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
So you can't
watch
it anymore?
No. You got to buy that motherfucker. HBO is really tight on most of their shows. I don't even know. Deadwood, I think I might have seen on Netflix.
Ah.
But other than that, I don't.
$35 a season.
Yeah, well, you could probably.
Like Sopranos. You can't watch The Sopranos anywhere.
Yeah. If you go to eBay, you could probably buy The Wire box set. I think it's like $40. You can buy it there. So, and then it's a pretty solid market.
Yeah.
So if, you know, you could watch it and then sell it back on eBay, and probably it'd be cheaper than renting it.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing. I know people that buy HBO things and record them, you know, onto make their DVD copy and then sell it, and then, you know, paying.
Yeah, and sometimes after a while you get more for. Well, maybe not. Certain titles, I guess, you should get more for.
I bought copies of that Rome miniseries. Where was it? They had it on Amazon for like $60, and I bought 3 copies and then later sold them for $120 each.
Nice.
Bam.
Fucking, I'm going to be
on Amazon, I sold them.
Cool.
That's even weirder.
Yeah. I'm going to be kind of slow in my responses today. I'm on DayQuil.
DayQuil. I'm on DayQuil.
We call it
yes, I am.
Dave Quill. My name is Dave. D-E-Y-F.
Yep.
So, yeah, this Diamond Head, I haven't heard it for a long time. It's kind of cool because Metallica really immortalized this song kind of to all the metalheads in the world. And mm-hmm. then you hear back, like, late 70s.
Are you saying this is the original?
This is.
All right.
It is. Diamond Head, man. Take me home.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite the drastic change from Budgie's Bread Pan.
Bread Pan. Or, no, Bedpan.
Bedpan, yeah.
Bedpan. Take a fucking shit. Take a piss. Take a second. Push the button and the nurse will come and feed me. Yeah. So, yeah, go see Diamond Head this Friday. It'll be awesome.
That's awesome.
Raven. Those guys are awesome.
And if you go there...
It's a Hawthorne Theater, by the way, Portland.
How many times do you hear the audience say, am I evil? Like, not during the song, but before they play the song.
Yeah.
You know? And
Everyone will be yelling that.
Yeah, and see how it growingly agitates the band.
Did Diamond Head, like, that's when you'll be asking yourself, did Diamond Head have any other song?
Mm-hmm.
They must have had one. But I think the solos and everything are, like, true to form. Like, yeah. Metallica didn't change it at all. Hmm. They just girded it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, we're a little bit more metal, yeah! Get out of here, James.
They were in a garage at the time, right?
Revisited. The Garage Band Revisited. Metallica's probably going to come up with a Garage Band. They're going to merge with Garage Band and have the relaunch of Garage Band. It's going to be called Garage Band Revisited, the Metallica version.
That would be weird.
And you could just do Metallica songs on it only, but you can't do anything but listen to them yourself because you can't sell them on Napster or else.
Yeah.
Or maybe they get an automatic royalty.
I think it would just add the yazz to the songs that you were making on there.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. I wonder if this guy ever says, yeah. And where did James get that? Is he just really agreeable?
Sammy Hagar.
Is he like an oscillating fan?
He is.
Yeah! Like, yeah, if he had a job interview, yeah. He'd be fucked. Because he's answering, would you ever steal from the company? Yeah!
I wonder who the first person is that really started doing that. You know, the just to keep, like... the melody go or like the phrase
or
going.
You ran out of words and mm-hmm. yeah, you need another syllable. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if I ever heard like Lefty Frizzell like yodeling.
Yeah. He might have done that sometime though. You just might not have heard it.
He could yodel.
Yodel ahi oo. I saw, I guess it was Jason Breeton, the bass player from Sick Man,
uh-huh.
and I think the Wobblies? I think he plays for the Koozies, sorry. The Koozies, I believe, which all is right. What keeps your beer cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Koozie. He posted that video, and he said, this is awesome. Check out this yodeling. And it was Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Oh, wow.
Yodeling. Yep. It's got some yodeling in it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that guy could try out for Foreigner. Later on Friday. Friday, we got celebrity tryouts with Foreigner. I think they'll be rocking some Jukebox Hero.
And do they have any other songs?
Foreigner?
No, Hocus Pocus.
Oh. They had one called
Focus.
Yeah, they had a song called Hocus Pocus, and then they had a song called Locust Focus.
Where they also had one called Kalamazoo.
They had Locust Rocus.
What is that? Hocus Pocus. Kalamazoo.
And then Rackus Placus. No, I think most of their songs
Maximus.
Didn't even have any yodeling in it. Excuse my funny noises today, you ladies and gents and boys and girls. I'll be going... I thought I wasn't going to have a babysitter, and then I was feeling sick this morning and feeling beat down because I woke up feeling sick, and I was like, fuck. And then my wife was going to go to work, and then we didn't have anybody to babysit the godchild. But it all worked out. The sun came out. I started feeling better. She stayed home, and she's going to work tomorrow instead. So,
when you wake up sick, that means you've been abducted and injected.
That must be what happened, because I was fine last night. Actually, right, I sneezed about 17 times at my dad's house the night before last, and then boom, I just got one day, boom.
Are you sure it's not allergies? Because it suddenly got just all sunny again, so the pollen could have brushed up.
It could have. I was fine last night, and it was cold outside, and I built a fire and stuff. And
well, I hope it passes quickly.
Yeah, me too.
That's why I
was working out in the chilly, sunny, you know, it was sunny and chilly the last Friday or something, and I was sweating and working in the cold. So that's a good recipe for getting some kind of a, because I'm not sick like a virus. I just have a stuffy nose and kind of a scratchy throat. Just a good excuse to chug a bunch of Dayquil.
These things are irritated.
There.
In your passages.
In my world. Oh, man. Yes, they are irritated in my world.
You know what irritated me in my world this week?
I don't know.
Gene fucking Simmons.
Oh, man, I'm already pissed at him, but let me know something else that he did. They've been starting the whole series of his Gene Simmons Family Jews over on, like, Access TV, which is where I watch a lot of cool concerts. I don't want to.
And since that's music related, now they're going to the reality TV dogs. Now next it's going to be Rock of Love all over on their Flavor Flav, all over on your favorite network.
I just want to see the live concerts, man. They've been pretty cool. I've been seeing some cool stuff.
Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Rush.
And they have a lot of programs about the world's best tribute bands. Like Led Zeppelin, who was just at the Wow Hall last month. Were on there. And
who led them off?
They're from San Francisco, so I think they're led by the homosexual revolution.
Nope, that is no longer true. The most gay city now is no longer San Francisco.
Or is it Portland now?
Seattle.
Oh, why?
They just higher
amount of gays.
Yep.
Well, well.
Yeah.
Congratulations to San Francisco.
But, okay, so Gene Simmons, he blasted some icons. He said...
You know why he did that?
He said, you know, one or two albums, that doesn't make you an icon just because you died early. You know who he mentioned?
Loverboy?
Which is factually incorrect on the one or two albums.
I thought he was just pissed because he didn't get the slot in Loverboy last week.
He might have been. That was that might have been why he came out in the public.
Yeah. Okay. So who? Let me see. Did he name Nirvana?
Yeah. He mentioned Kurt Cobain.
Okay. There you go.
And Amy Winehouse. And he said.
So he thinks that druggies that die in the 27 Club aren't icons.
Well, he said.
What about Jim Morrison?
He said, Kurt Cobain. No, that's one or two records. That's not enough. Amy Winehouse. That's one or two records. That's not enough. That does not make you an icon. No.
See, now I think what he's meaning by one or two records from Nirvana is the two that were released and did well, which was In Utero and Teens. Nevermind.
Because
Bleach didn't really count. It was an independent release.
No, but you could give, you know, even if you
and then Unplugged.
Unplugged. Well, that was live, so you know you could do that. But also. You can't discount, what was the one in between there? Incesticide.
Yeah, well.
Because even though that was stuff
beforehand. You think
Gene
Simmons would ever listen to that all the way through? That's a noisy,
I don't
noisy
see record. Why. He's a hairspray queen.
Hey.
Right?
You were my mind when I was mine. You were mine. You tiddlywinks. I got my tiddlywinks. That whole album is fucking
name one band since the 70s. That has had the kind of success as Kiss or Aerosmith or AC/DC or Led Zeppelin. Those are icons, he said.
That's kind of true, but there aren't any. Did he say that there are that came from the 80s or the 90s?
No, he said there hasn't been any since...
Metallica.
Since AC/DC.
You don't think... you don't think...
I would put...
As far as success and public approval, not by their old school fans who... drop them by the wayside, but you know, like
Metallica,
they've been a band for, let's see, 83, 93.
Well, since 91 is 22 since they've been mainstream. If you count the Black Album, as you know, even though they were kind of mainstream since 89.
Yeah, coming
with
up
the one
30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. And they've sold millions. I would even put
Motley Crue in there, because in the early 90s, Motley Crue was fucking exploding on the mainstream. Yep. They were all over the radios.
Even in the
with
early
Girls, 80s. Girls, Girls, yep. Wild
I mean, late
Side.
80s. Late 80s.
Yeah, and
Dr. Feelgood was all over the radio.
Home Sweet Home, even, in the 80s fucking 70s.
And they just toured with Motley Crue, so he says there are none.
That's, yeah, you might want to check it out to see the full context, but he was basically saying just because you released one or two records and you died early doesn't mean you should be an icon, and he named those two names. And I don't know that much about Amy Winehouse, but...
Who is he to say what I should have on my desktop?
No, that's true.
I've got a Kurt Cobain icon on my desktop.
Yeah.
You click on it, it plays Nirvana. Which is iconic.
And who is he to say who fucking anyone should claim to be iconic status?
Right.
You know? He's lucky enough that people consider him as an icon of rock after his fucking Family Show.
Yeah. I had, like, what was I watching? Oh, it was right after the Gotham Comedy Live, because that's on Access TV, too. And so I was watching that, and I knew it got over, but I didn't push stop on the DVR because I was doing something else, playing Pac-Man on my Kindle or some shit. And so then all of a sudden, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels is starting, the premiere pilot episode.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I slept with this many women. And they're like, oh, aren't you married? He's like, hell no, I'm happily unmarried for the last 22 years to the same beautiful woman. And they're like, you slept with more women with makeup on or makeup off. He's like, after it came off. Like, well,
didn't he take a lie detector test that he's never slept with another woman other than, what's her name?
Not since he made his agreement. No, he said he slept with...
Oh,
like,
okay, they had an agreement.
4,000. He had, apparently, the thing, what or the story, the lore, whatever you want to call it, was that he had Polaroids of every groupie that he fucked, whether it be in the mouth or otherwise, and had 37, this was in the late 80s, he had 3,700 Polaroids of 3,700 different women.
One, what would you do with all those pictures? And two, means that he was just wandering around backstage with the Polaroid camera.
With his dick in his hand.
And whenever he's out, like, on the street, he would have to be ready with his Polaroid camera. You know, just in case of groupie.
No, the pictures he'd take while he was doing them.
Exactly. Okay. Because somebody, you know,
He's got the Polaroid camera.
You're
back
walking
at the hotel.
Down Sunset Boulevard. You probably get accosted by women 7 times. You know, you got to have your Polaroid with you.
No, you have it back at the hotel.
Oh, I guess. Okay.
Probably have your camera roadie take the picture.
That's true.
They didn't
too.
Have selfies.
Roadie.
They didn't think of selfies back in the day. Could you imagine what a selfie would look like on the Polaroid? I guess it looked the same, huh? A long picture of your arm.
Yep.
And it goes right at you, the picture.
I think you're onto something there.
Polaroid selfies. Yeah, that's retro.
Mm-hmm.
Which someone said the other day, retro means it's old, but it's still cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right?
I think so.
I think it was Wreck-It Ralph, John C. Reilly, that said that.
Hmm.
Because when they all got back to their video game at the end, spoiler alert for Wreck-It Ralph. They all got back the video game, and they got more popular than ever. And he's like, they call us retro now. He goes, which I guess means old, but still cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good...
Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph.
And John C. Reilly. And then he faces off against, in that movie...
against
Bill the Butcher?
No.
No.
I don't think so. He faces off against...
I was thinking of Gangs of New York.
Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch, yeah. She's a very active voiceover in those Disney movies these days. She's
funny.
She's exploding.
Because the chick
top lesbian
that she played in Wreck-It Ralph pretty much looks like her.
They always make the cars or whatever just look a little bit like the people.
To where the adults would notice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, that's Cheech.
Yep. He's got a mustache.
Hey, that tow truck is George Carlin. No, wait. Was he in Cars? Wasn't he in Cars?
I don't know.
It was like one of his last things.
It might have been.
Yeah. So we spoiled Breaking Bad for anybody who hadn't watched it last week, because that's what we do.
And we named the show after the finale.
Felina.
So in hopes to get more downloads from random people.
That's right. So check this out. I thought this was kind of funny. In Albuquerque, they mourned their loss of their favorite program by placing an obituary in the Albuquerque Journal of Walt White. David Lehman of Las Lunas, New Mexico, said he and his fellow members of the Facebook group Unofficial Breaking Bad Fan Tour were inspired so much by the Felina finale that they took out a paid obituary in the Journal for Walter White, who met his demise in the closing moments of the show. "I've been a humongous Breaking Bad fan since the beginning," Lehman said. "I was actually in the pilot, and putting the obituary in the paper was fitting." He must have been an extra or something.
No, does he mean that he was in a pilot? Like,
he was fucking a pilot in the ass, yeah. Because the series was based in Albuquerque, and so he thought it was fitting to have the obituary there.
Well, that's cool. That makes sense. Plus, you know, I mean, if you thought about that and then you said, man, that would probably get a lot of attention.
Yeah. And just think if you didn't know it was fake. You're like, whoa, was that a reality show the whole time? The obituary reads, "White, comma, Walter, a.k.a. Heisenberg, 52, Albuquerque, died Sunday after a long battle with lung cancer and a gunshot wound. A co-founder of Gray Matter, White was a research chemist who taught high school chemistry and later founded a meth manufacturing empire. He is survived by his wife, Skylar, son, Walter, Bullshit, Jr., and his daughter, Holly. A private memorial was held by his family. In lieu of flowers, donation can be made to a drug abuse prevention charity of your choice."
No, come on.
"He will be greatly missed."
So, he died on his 52nd birthday, right?
Was that?
No, because he was in the desert days, putting that thing together.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't on his birthday.
He was back in 52 and 2.
Yeah. He didn't even eat his breakfast.
Have you heard of the new show Metastasis?
I think I heard of
Metastasis.
Don't know what it is or who is in it.
Oh, man. It's going to be just like Breaking Bad.
What?
Except for it's going to be in Spanish.
Oh, sí, señor.
They're making a... It's not like subtitled. I mean, it's new actors.
Yeah.
And his name is Walter Blanco.
Ah.
Oh, Walter Blanco.
Heisenberger.
Mm-hmm.
Heisenberito.
And you can go online and you can see, actually, I thought it might have just been like a Jimmy Kimmel joke or something, you know, one of those things. But there's actually scenes and you can see, like, it's this Mexican guy with goofy looking hair. You know, and an Americanized mustache. And he's pointing guns, and it's goofy. I wonder if you could just watch it and just kind of, like, even not,
know
like, being
happens.
Fluent in Spanish. I mean, you would know the scenes, because it seems like it's going to stay pretty strict to the actual same storytelling.
Kind of like the Office version, U.S.? And,
mm-hmm.
Okay. They had a pretty funny skit on Saturday Night Live this last weekend. It was called Running Rodham, and it was Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out, and it's Obama on the phone. He's like, "No, I haven't talked with the Secretary of State in months." And it's like zoomed in on him. And he's like, "Okay, well, all right. Well, if I see her, I will definitely let you know. I'll call you." And then the camera, he hangs up and he's smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was going to be at first. The camera fades back, and then when it goes around the corner, you can see Hillary standing there. Just like that last scene of Skyler and Walt and Breaking Bad, because she was smoking a cigarette. She's like, "Just 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes." And he's like, "Okay." She's like, "Do you even know why I'm doing this?" He goes, "You're doing it for the people." She goes, "No, I'm doing it for myself. I love it. It makes me feel alive. And I'm good at it." You know, basically doing the same whole thing. And it was kind of funny.
Huh.
They were making fun of, I guess there's going to be a miniseries, and several networks are going to be doing it about Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Oh, no, it's been canceled.
Oh, they canceled it, okay.
Yeah, they finally canceled it due to all the heat. Because the Republicans were saying that it was pro-Hillary propaganda.
Ah.
And so they were making waves, and so, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I tell you what, if getting political, if the Republicans put up another John McCain or Mitt Romney, you're looking at a Hillary Rodham president next fucking election for sure, because nobody's going to vote for those fucking creepy old guys.
Running Rodham. She's running for president. Mm-hmm. That's what they're kind of trying to get at, but who knows? I don't know if she's going to do it or not.
Speaking of presidents, Sir Bob Geldof, who was never president, but, you know, he played Pink,
yep.
Right?
And he was in the Boomtown Rats.
He was in the Boomtown Rats.
He also did Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he came out, he did a speech in South Africa. He's a big activist, and he did a speech in South Africa this recently and said, humankind will be gone by 2030. That's what he said. We will not survive past 2030.
I don't believe that.
I don't know. It's just another date to look at.
Well, yeah, but
now we'll be talking about Bob Geldof till 2030.
So what do you think that he was trying to...
Global climate changing.
And is he just trying to scare people, or...
fear-mongering. He was trying to make a point about his, do something about climate change. Stop spraying hairspray in the air, or whatever those people are worried about, whatever they're... You know, I hear a lot of them complain. I just don't hear a lot of solutions. What do they want people to do? Drive less cars?
Yeah.
I don't see, you know, I mean, people make an effort, I guess, when they can. They got electric cars coming out. You got carpool lanes, you know. So it's not like people don't do something about it.
I rode my bike to the
people,
store.
Yeah, you just want people to go back to horses. But then you got fucking horses everywhere. They're shitting and causing methane.
Whoa.
You know, that's not going to be better.
It's kind of like getting, I don't know, it's not like that, but never mind. I was going to say something, and I thought, that's opening up a whole can of worms that I don't even want to get into, so fuck that shit. We got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Shit, I was going to say something, but I can't remember. Oh, yeah, you used to be a bartender, didn't you? For a small
period
of time. Do they have lottery there? Like,
no, they didn't. They did not want lottery there.
No Keno or nothing?
Nope.
Huh.
We tried to get them to put it in there, but they wanted to be classy.
Huh.
They didn't want customers. They just wanted to be classy.
Well, you can be classy all you want. You're not going to make any money. You're
they didn't
want to
put a pool table in either.
That's a bullshit.
They just didn't want people hanging around, I guess.
Yeah. If you come here, you buy shit and consume it and then leave. Get the fuck out. Well, I was going to ask you if you ever had a big tip, and the reason I asked about the lottery is because sometimes people give people lottery tickets for tips.
I've never given a lottery ticket for a tip, but I have, like, if I've won, like, a Royal Flush, and, you know, I've $150, and I'll go, like, a $10 tip or something, you know, if it's, unless I'm losing money.
Yeah. So this guy came in with a bunch of Keno tickets that he hadn't checked and some that he had just bought. He didn't come in. He'd bought some as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have time to stick around, I think, to...
Watch the TV.
Yeah, and so this is in Springfield, Oregon, our neck of the woods. And so he just gave the bartender, he bought some stuff, paid for it, and then he gave her two Keno tickets that hadn't been checked yet for a tip.
Uh-huh.
One of them was a $5 winner. The other one was $17,500.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a big tip for that lady.
Well, that's always a risk, you know.
I mean, and I've never even heard of this place. I guess it's out by past Springfield a little bit. It says it's in Springfield, but it's near that place where Kip Kinkle shot. Thurston, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I had to say Kip Kinkle just to remember Thurston. But the place was called Conway's Restaurant and Lounge. Never heard of it. But yeah. The guy came in, showed the waitress a handful of Keno tickets, and told her to choose two.
Ah, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
And the first one was $5. The second one was $17.5. She goes, I automatically handed it back to him, but the man, who was remaining anonymous, refused to take the ticket back.
Even after it was a winner?
Yeah, she checked it before he left, apparently. And then he made sure that she signed the ticket while he was standing there, so she would be the only one who could collect the prize.
He must be financially or independently wealthy then or something, financially stable to be able to do that, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, if someone turned around and said, no,
that's
this
like
is
a year's salary for some.
You can't give me this. This is $17,000. Nope, it's your tip. The bar is 80% regular, so everybody knows everybody. And he's remaining anonymous. The reaction in the bar was crazy. Everyone was all amped up. They're like, this doesn't happen somewhere like Thurston. But her name was Aurora Kephart, so call her up and get a loan. She's got $17,000 in her pocket.
Wow, that's crazy.
But she said that she gave him part of it because she couldn't not give him some of it.
You'd have to, right? You'd have to be like, I don't know.
She's treating herself to a new couch and banking the rest.
If you weren't going to do that, I mean, why even give the real story of how you got the ticket in the first place, right?
Yeah.
You just say, oh, I just bought this.
$17,500.
Yeah, you wouldn't even tell the customer before they left or whatever.
He's like, aren't you going to check that? It's like, fuck no, I'm leaving to wait till you leave.
Huh.
No.
I challenge people to go to a store and... this is Flames and I were talking about doing this yesterday. I say, hey, I want to stop at the Geary Street Market. So go to a market. That's like, you never see more than one or two customers in at a time, you know.
Right.
It's real local. They've got like cases of pop sitting on the floor across from the cooler, that kind of thing, because they don't have all the storage room.
Right.
And then go and ask to buy 100 Keno tickets in a row. And then hang out and watch it on their TV all day. Ask for a chair. Hang out.
Do you think they'd let you?
Oh, I don't see why not.
Like, hey, man, I need to know if this game's going to win.
Yeah, I asked Flames if he could stop by a Geary Street store real quick because I wanted to play 100 games of Keno while I was there.
Yeah, it only costs $100, and it take 500 minutes.
400 minutes now. Oh, I think they do it every four now.
Oh, okay.
But still, yeah, it's a 6-7 hour thing.
We should do that every Sunday.
You're kind of creepy. But you'd always like, you know, if you're thirsty, you could go over and just buy a pop out of the thing. And
free refills, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just give them you'd be cashing in the ticket every time you won.
Right.
And getting, like, the new ticket that's only good for 90 games. Every time you'd be like, oh, could you check this for me? Can you make sure?
I'm not sure if we talked about it on the show or if we were not recording yet, but I talked a little bit about Hillary Clinton spoof on Saturday Night Live. In case anybody didn't know, Miley Cyrus was the host and the musical guest, which is, she was pretty much making fun of herself.
And the talent.
The opening skit was 2045. The world was rubble. Everything was in ruins. And they said that the world really went to shit back in 2013, the night of the VMAs.
She's making light of everybody making a big deal about it.
Yeah. But when she did her performances, she pretty much didn't twerk out or anything. But there was a cool thing where she played Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all this like sexy rap video thing about the government shutting down. Saying, it's our party, we can do what we want. Republican Party, something, blah, 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 blah. And she was all like being sexy and acting like pretty much like Miley Cyrus in a... Michelle Obama.
All right,
was it
so
Michelle Bachman? Is there a Michelle Bachman?
Yeah.
It was Michelle Bachman, not Obama, excuse me. Michelle Bachman.
Watching her in a composed situation to where she has to kind of keep her wits about her, at least, you know, enough to... for a Saturday Night Live host, right?
Yeah, she did a lot of skits.
Do you think that she is more together or less together than you previously thought she was, head-wise?
Well, after reading what I read, not knowing whether to believe it or not, I thought that that whole thing was all kind of staged and that she just did it because they told her to do it and act crazy and like that.
Well, she obviously rehearsed it. I think it was a lot of her idea.
Yeah. I don't think she's like Amanda Bynes where she's like literally done too many drugs and is crazy or something like that. But no, in the skits that she did and she had to play normal. Wow, there doesn't seem like there wasn't something sexual in every scene that she was in, though. Like, there was one where there was a classroom of kids, and teacher said, I'm going to be gone today. We've got a substitute teacher, and she's a poetry teacher, and today we're talking about poetry. And the lady comes out, and she's like, hello. Now, poetry can be about anything that you want. What do you want to write about? It's like, farts. And he's, well, that's okay, because you can. So she does this whole thing, and then she asked some people to get up and do some poems, and then whatever, whoever Miley was playing got up last, and she's like, I got a poem. I wrote it just now. And she's like, my life was dark until someone walked into the classroom today. And she, like, did this whole, like, romantic poem about mm-hmm. the teacher that was right there, and then she, like, started trying to make out with her.
So she's still really trying to hammer home the I'm not the Disney thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
All pretty much adult-themed
stuff.
So
maybe
stuff,
that
yeah.
was, like, all repressed of her, and so now she really has to over-exaggerate how much she isn't just a kid anymore, and she chooses to show that hey, look at all the sex I'm having, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and apparently she made fun of Sinead O'Connor, and she's all pissed and made a public statement. Old skinhead O'Connor said that she demands an apology from Miley Cyrus after the U.S. pop star mocked the Irish singer's mental health problems. It was, I guess, after an interview in Rolling Stone, where Cyrus said she was inspired for her Wrecking Ball music video by an image of a single tear in O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You video. O'Connor, I guess, responded to Cyrus's comment with an open letter expressing her concern for the young pop star's recent behavior. I'm extremely concerned for you, and those that are around you have led you to believe or encouraged you in your own belief that it is anyway cool to be naked and licking sledgehammers in your video.
She's basically saying, how did you get that out of the tear in my video?
Right. And Cyrus responded back by posting a screenshot of tweets by O'Connor from last year in which the Irish singer asked for recommendations for a psychiatrist for her bipolar disorder. And Cyrus compared O'Connor to actress Amanda Bynes, who is currently under psychiatric treatment. It's someone who expressed care for you.
Wow.
O'Connor said, I hope that you will apologize to Amanda Bynes and to any person that has been wounded by your mockery for those who have suffered.
That's kind of harsh, though. I mean, when you bring up somebody in an interview and then they write an open letter to you just like that, you know, which was kind of goofy. But if you're inspired by this person, and obviously look up to him, that a single tear in their video created an entire video for you, and they wrote an open letter pretty much saying that they're worried about you.
Right.
And what is going on, probably mostly just because of industry people.
Yeah.
But that she would just go back and just, like, attack her for her mental...
Yeah, I'm going to post shit from her past.
I'm going to bring up your old shit now.
That's total.
I mean, no, who doesn't know that fucking Sinead O'Connor has fucking, she's off the wicket.
Yeah, she was ripping up pictures of the Pope on national television 20, 30 years ago.
I know, and now everybody loves the Pope.
They do.
Yeah,
the Pope. Do you love him?
I love the Pope.
Would you make love to him?
Obama's going to be the next Pope. That's how godly he is.
I heard that Obama
that'll piss some people off.
Obama is a Muslim plant in our country to gain information for the Al-Qaeda.
Uh-huh, that's why he started the NSA.
Who is this Al dude they keep talking about? I was watching an old Doug Stanhope thing from, I don't know how many years ago. It was after 9-1-1, 9-11, whatever we call it. It was after Reno 9-1-1.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about Osama bin Laden. He kept he called him bin Laden the whole time, and then he's all, and these Al-Qaeda, or he said mm-hmm. both of them wrong.
Repeatedly. Mm-hmm. I think so. I think
he's like, is Osama bin Laden even a real person? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't catch that fucker.
He's just like making to where it's just a goofiness, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a straight man type of a thing, where he doesn't know that he's saying it wrong, but he just keeps saying it over and over. And
yeah.
Al-Qaeda.
And a lot of times he'll say words over and over that are like like butt fucking.
Mm-hmm.
He said this one thing. He said butt fucking like probably 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't have a problem with two guys butt fucking each other. He goes, as long as the person who's butt fucking the other person that wants to get butt fucked isn't like butt fucking some other butt fucker that's not supposed to be butt fucking him, because there was like a 3-way butt fuck going on, and this other butt fucker got pissed because this one butt fucker was butt fucking this other butt fucker, and that other butt fucker comes in and he's like, why are you butt fucking that butt fucker? I thought you were fucking my butt. It's like, that's not verbatim, but that's pretty close. There's a lot of butt fucking going on in that
yeah,
skit.
Yeah, and you can imagine that conversation probably happens.
People are laughing.
That conversation probably happens amongst the gay community, right? Like,
yeah,
if
would you use different terms? Like,
if you
hey,
no, if you were angry, no, because when you're angry, you just want to use the word
what
fucking
the fuck, butt fucker.
You want to use the word fucking a lot, you know, when you're angry.
I thought you were fucking my butt, mm-hmm. and here you're over here butt fucking this other butt fucker, and he butt fucking
yeah,
another butt.
And the guy's half in tears, and
yeah. Yeah, Mike's been getting a lot of my stepson and Griefhammer guitarist Mike Warren has been getting a lot of videos downloaded from a friend down the street, and he's been burning them onto discs for me as some old Mitch Hedberg Comedy Central stuff that I hadn't seen when he did his first Comedy Central special. That was so weird. Did you ever see that full one with no editing?
I watched a few videos, but I don't know. I wouldn't know unless I saw.
He kept going,
it.
This is my special. All right. He's like, does anybody know who I am?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like,
well, I think they,
like,
that's what? At least a CD, right?
Probably. But it was edited up, though. And this was like a whole unedited show that ended up being about 35 minutes. And it's probably 22 after they commercial it up for a half hour
special.
Yeah,
but I think the CD was full length.
Ah.
But I don't know if I've seen the actual special, like live or like footage.
You kept going, I gotta get out of here, man. He's like, I'm feeling better now, though. I'm just going to start over and do my special again.
Mm-hmm.
It's my special, too. It's like I had a roommate. He starts with his first joke again. He used to knock on the wall when I played my music too loud, which is unfortunate because I like loud music. I told him, go around. There's no door on this side. It's just a wall. You got a knob over there or what?
I love Mitch.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Gonna tell people if you haven't heard of him, check him out. And Mike had never seen him. We were watching some Doug Stanhope, and he listed off a bunch of people that he had. And I was like, I'd like to have that old Mitch Hedberg thing. He's like, is he pretty funny? I go, yeah, but he's way different than Doug Stanhope. He sat down for a while. He's like, I'm gonna go sit down.
Yep.
He's like, what do you think if people are flipping through the channels and they just go, oh, there's Mitch sitting down telling some jokes? Ha ha. His like demeanor is almost funnier than his shit.
Oh, yeah. A character.
I need a voice. I'll steal from my three favorite comedians and just talk funny. Hey, I'm talking funny.
All right, so you watched The Wire, and you saw the season one, and now you're watching season two, and now do you know...
We're in the shipping docks now.
Yep. Who is that singing on the beginning?
No, you told me last week, but I don't recall. It reminds me of Weeds. You got the same song performed in a different manner by a different artist.
Every season
is
a different artist.
See, now Weeds went a little crazy.
South Alabama Boys or something on season one.
Weeds went crazy, and it was like a different person every episode.
Yeah, yeah. But season two.
You go to the garden.
Tom Waits.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was a black blues man.
I know, huh?
I did. I thought that was a black blues man, so you
me
must
too.
Not have told me.
No, I don't think, because I just looked it up recently and put
way
it together
down,
after I was
you
listening.
Know. Maybe he'll try out for a lover boy, a foreigner. Tom Waits.
What about Boz Skaggs?
Way down in the hole.
You got a Boz.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's the only song I know by Boz Skaggs.
You can just throw in the whoa, whoa, we oyos after everything.
Jukebox
like,
hero. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Lido, no. Jukebox hero. Lido, pop, no. No, Lido. My wife's mother likes Boz Skaggs a lot. So, of course, when you're a kid and your parents are listening to those records, they kind of grab a little place in your heart or in your mind, and
to where you like, I like that shit because I used to listen to it as a kid.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
I'm not into Boz Gags too much. The Lido Shuffle.
I'm not into Boz Gags because for the longest time until just a couple years ago, I thought that was fucking Billy Joel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Lido?
You don't really, I mean, you hear the Lido name. You hear the name Boz Skaggs, but they don't say, Boz, here comes Boz Skaggs on the radio. You know,
they
usually
don't?
They'll just play it in the middle of like four or five songs, and you'll go, oh, that was a Billy Joel song.
You know where Boz Skaggs, that's a funny name. I wonder if he's related to Ricky.
I would imagine.
Well, Boz got his start with the Steve Miller Band. Boz Skaggs used to play.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's fucking weird. That's fucking weird. Yeah, he was on the early stuff like, somebody get me a cheeseburger. You know, living in the USA. Do, 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 do. Somebody get me a cheeseburger.
Man, I wish I could still listen to Steve Miller and enjoy it as much as I used to.
Those songs that they played so much, though, I can't even hear them.
Even
like,
just,
Take the Money and Run.
To them. Oh, yeah, Take the Money and Run.
That other one that I can't even think of because I've heard it too many millions of times.
Fly Like an Eagle.
Yeah, and that other one.
That one?
And old Jet Airliner.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Jungle Love.
You rarely
Jungle
hear like,
Love!
What was that, Honeysuckle Pie or whatever?
Oh. Honeysuckle Mountain something.
Honey Mountain Pie.
Yeah. I've got me. And then I don't know, but I've been told if you keep on dancing, I'll never grow old. Come on, dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance. All night long. Pick on.
Mm-hmm.
He says pick on.
Oh, the Joker. That's that song you were thinking of.
Oh, yeah. That's not. But there was another one off of Fly Like an Eagle that's like Take the Money and Run. But Billy Mac. Oh, that's Take the Money and Run. Ooh, the other one.
Yeah. Is that Warren Zevon?
Ooh. Werewolves of Money and Running. I don't know. Yeah, Steve Miller, he got burned. What about Abracadabra? That's my favorite.
That was, I remember that one on the radio when I was like 8.
I get up. I can't cool down. There's another one, though, that I can't fucking think of that's not Take the Money and Run. Oh, God, it just always jumps on my tongue and then goes back to the back of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. The Bone Jars used to play it sometimes. Oh, well. It'll come to me later.
Yeah.
When I don't need it. After you Google it.
I'm looking at Skaggs.
Ooh. Ricky Skaggs. Boz Skaggs.
What about Charlie Skaggs?
I didn't know there was such a person.
He's known as Too Cold Scorpio. He's an American wrestler.
Ooh. I did not know that he existed.
Mm-hmm. There's also Jimmy Skaggs, American actor.
Jimmy Smits. I know Jimmy Smits.
Joey Skaggs. He's an American prankster who organizes media pranks.
God, there's a lot of Skaggs.
Yep.
How do you get so many Skaggs?
There's also Trent Skaggs, businessman. I guess you get a Wikipedia page for being a businessman.
I just, what do you do? I do business.
Yep.
Check me out. I got my business socks on.
Hmm. Well, I don't see Boz Skaggs in the Ricky Skaggs associated acts.
No, I didn't think that they were. Maybe like 200,000 years ago they might have been.
You know, Ricky Skaggs, he plays the Mandocaster.
Is that a Stratocaster mandolin?
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
I don't know.
I saw an electric mandolin that was shaped like an Explorer. A Ford truck. No, just kidding. No, it was shaped like a Gibson Explorer. It was pretty awesome.
Are those... It seems like those... Those guitars are pretty back heavy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, you'd probably get hit in the face if you just let it go because the neck would flip up and the headstock would hit you in the face.
Right. That's exactly what would happen.
I don't know what a Mandocaster is. I
clicked on the link and it just went to electric mandolins. So I'd imagine it's
electric mandolin.
That, you know, has properties of a of a Fender. Oh, there it is. From 56 to 76, Fender produced a four-string version, which they simply called the Fender Electric Mandolin. Its body shape was based on a smaller version of the Stratocaster body.
Well, well, well.
And they, whoa. Dude, you should go check out, people should go and look up Epiphone's Mando Bird.
Mando Bird?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. The Mando Bird.
Yeah, that's what it was. It looks like a Explorer, kind of.
Explorer, kind of. Well, it's the same kind of body shape, almost.
Just round.
Just not as sharp.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
It is more Nikki Six than
James Hetfield.
He plays the Explorer?
Yeah, sometimes.
And so does Ed Lee, Ed King.
Ed King, oh, from Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah, which is the, I remember being sicker than shit, you know, that so sick, like, you can't stop hack coughing nonstop for, like, 2 minutes.
Right.
And I had Skynyrd and Kenny Wayne Shepherd tickets.
Wow.
And I wasn't going to miss that, you know, at the Rose Garden. They were spendy, for one.
Yeah.
And so I went and hacked and coughed through it, but still, one of the only moments I remember was the intro to "Give Me Three Steps" when Ed King was blasting it through that Explorer and that Marshall combo, and I was like, man, you know, that is such a signature sound, and you know, that's when I realized that it was an Explorer,
yeah,
being played on that.
Nice.
And
yeah.
I kind of fell in love with, man, that'd be cool to have one of those.
I've never seen Skynyrd.
Really? I've seen them three trims.
Count them.
I don't think I remember the third one. I don't. Maybe it was only two.
I'm doing a heavy metal version of Happy Birthday today because we have a heavy metal friend.
Right on.
And listener of the podcast. Happy birthday to you. Dave, Death Metal Dave Forsythe today.
Yeah!
Birthday today. I don't even know the date, but it's Monday. I think it's the 7th of October today.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday to you, yeah.
Yeah, what is up?
He's almost a year older than me. So happy birthday to Dave Forsythe.
Happy birthday, DMDF.
Also, a couple people that I just want to make fun of. I would never wish them a happy birthday. Dan Savage, do you ever read his column, Savage Love, in the Eugene Weekly?
I'm familiar with the guy.
I get a little chuckle.
YouTube.
I get a little chuckle out of what he writes because he's pretty bluntly honest. But
So you'd never wish him a happy birthday?
I thought he was way younger than he is. Now that I know that he's 49.
Well, have a fucked up birthday, man.
That's right, you savage beast. And from one of the bands I hate most, not more than like Nickelback or Godsmack. Sorry, Ron.
Rob Thomas.
Tom York from Radiohead.
He's in the news recently. Did you see that?
No, but that's great segue because he's my age. What did he do now? He just turned 45.
Well, apparently they had some deal with Spotify on their new album, and Radiohead's always been at the forefront of interesting ways to release albums online.
Right.
Right? You know, right. On their own site or whatever. But just the ability to, like, try to get the album to the fans in the best possible manner or whatever.
Right.
They made a deal with Spotify, and I guess he's not really happy with it and kind of said some things about Spotify. And I don't really use Spotify. I've never been there. I know it's...
I've seen
is it like
people,
a Pandora type of thing?
I don't
thing?
Know what it is, but I've seen it posted on Facebook and different places that says so-and-so is listening to this on Spotify.
Hmm.
I don't know.
So, it's just like one of those listen and share. And he basically kind of slammed them for not being the feature or a good way for fans to connect with bands.
Yeah.
And get their music. So, I don't know. I'm not familiar with it, but, you know, he's always bitching about something, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a creep.
He's a
wavo.
He's a loser.
I don't know. I don't. I didn't mind that album. Pablo Honey, is that it?
I don't know.
The
I just
first one?
Did it have yellow? It was all yellow.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Isn't that Coldplay too?
You're talking Coldplay? Tom York is Radiohead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this shows you how much I like Radiohead. Who's in Coldplay?
I don't know.
I hate Coldplay worse. Just to let you guys know, I hate Coldplay worse than Radiohead.
Isn't that Gwyneth Paltrow's husband?
Ooh, maybe.
Is the singer from Coldplay.
Huh. That's probably so.
Yeah.
Thanks for not making me look too stupid for too long.
Oh, well, yeah.
I said Radiohead, though.
You were talking about Radiohead.
And then for some reason, I thought that Coldplay was Radiohead for a second.
Because that Pablo Honey album has some yellow on it.
Honey
it's like
is
a yellow,
yellow
tint.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Subconscious fucking
yep, and, it's, you know,
bullshit.
You can also, there's that Blind Melon thing, too, because they had that yellow and black bee swinging around.
That little goofy girl with the big glasses and...
Shannon Hoon. What do you think he'd be doing these days?
Hanging out with Axl Rose?
Yep.
No, I don't know.
I'm doing Guns N' Roses albums.
I think he'd probably do personal appearances for Hans Jacobson.
Oh!
Hans was a big fan of Blind Melon.
Oh, yeah?
No. He was a big fan of Blind Melon Chitlin. So, he's a player. Okay, Hans today... I'm totally not ready, but I thought I was. Hans is listening to another band I've never heard of because that's what he does on Mondays. Ultra Lounge.
What?
Ultra Dash Lounge.
Is this a compilation?
It says Volume 18, so
right.
I guess so. It's called mm-hmm. Bottoms Up.
I think I've heard this series of albums.
And I found out.
So I know what he's listening to. He's listening to old instrumental lounge music.
Oh.
In the style of what was the Volume 18?
Bottoms Up, yeah.
Bottoms Up, so probably like.
In the style of Van Halen?
No, probably in the style of like drinking martinis.
Oh, okay.
You're talking like lounge, you know?
Yeah.
Like ultra lounge. Like you're in a lounge drinking martinis and it's like.
Wow. Okay, and I wasn't listening to my record player this week for some reason. I don't know. Just didn't spend enough time in my living room.
You know what I listen to?
What?
All right, I don't... Okay, go ahead.
No,
sorry,
I listen
cut
to,
you off.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Hi-oh!
We've been doing this for 200-some-odd shows. Cephalic Carnage has a... Not new, but it's the last one they released. Very technical, and then sometimes they'll do, like, rocky blues sounding stuff for a second, but very cool. Misled by Certainty is the name of the CD. You guys should check it out. Cephalic Carnage. That's a C. S-C.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it's a PH.
Yeah, phallic.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost like a penis or something, isn't it?
Yep. Phallic. Isn't there, yeah, do they ever tour with Carpathian Forest? Because that would be a tough tour.
To say.
Mm-hmm. Carpathian Forest, cephalic.
Carnage. I don't know if it could be phallic or phallic,
uh-huh.
or some
corrosion
people say cephalic.
Corrosion of conformity and
cock blockers united.
Nah.
All right, go ahead. You weren't listening to something.
I was listening to. I was just checking out because sometimes somebody will pop into your head, or you'll be making a joke about somebody, and then you'll go, "I never really listened to that person, even if they were."
Yeah, like I don't like them, but I never listen to them that much.
Yeah, well, you always hear jokes about them, but you've never really listened to them because they were dead a long time ago. Liberace.
Ooh.
So I.
What are you trying to say?
I checked out some YouTube videos of him playing like chopsticks and some classic boogie stuff.
It's weird that you would have done that.
And dude, he fucking. I'll tell you what, though, man, that guy could fucking tear up a piano.
Oh, big time.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there was no joke about what he could do on those fucking keys, for sure.
Yeah. I watched a YouTube video of him eating with chopsticks once. he kept dropping his food all over. I was just trying to show my godson how to play chopsticks.
Really?
But what would be cool is because it's kind of like when you learn it as a kid, it's just like a two-finger thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was
thinking of Fur Elise now.
Yeah, I think he could play it better with chopsticks.
And wouldn't that be ironic if he was playing chopsticks with chopsticks?
Mm-hmm.
Go, Jaden. Oh,
yeah. Man. Is Fur Elise one of those beginner songs, too?
Kind of, yeah.
You know, at least the beginning, I guess, right?
Elise.
Fur Elise.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You ever watch that movie with Gary Oldman playing Beethoven called Immortal Beloved?
No.
Where he met his partner for a few years, Isabella Rossellini?
Ah, I recently watched her.
It's a crazy movie, man. Because
she's crazy.
Because Gary Oldman plays those crazy villains, and you know, villains that you love to hate.
Yeah.
You know, like probably, and I agree, I recently saw that somebody voted this the best villain of all time on screen. Him in The Professional.
He had a big scar down his face, didn't he?
That was Omar.
No.
I don't. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't know.
I think he did. And
I just remember him freaking out.
Jean-Claude Van Rung.
Jean Renault.
Oh, yeah, Jean Renault. Mm-hmm. When you speak a French name, it sounds like you're not finishing the words.
I know. His name should be Jean Reno.
Jean,
but it's Jean Renault.
Jean Renault. Janet Reno. Jeanette Reno.
Dude, she's hot.
What was that one prong song?
Snap your fingers, snap your neck.
Beg to differ. Janet Reno. I love Will Ferrell as Janet Reno. That was always great. And I saw a commercial for, it was a car commercial, but it was actually an Anchorman commercial too. Anchorman 2, which is coming out. He's like, this car is luxurious. And then he's like, but I'm not going to tell you how good it is. He goes, I'm just going to tell you about the glove box. He's like, this glove box measures 12 inches and blah, blah, blah. And it's got a knob to open it with. And you can keep your stuff in it. You know, he's saying all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and you know what the kicker is? It comes standard. And then he's like, tries to leave and it's a curtain. And he's like, I know this is just a curtain, but I can't get out. I can't get out of here. It's kind of funny.
Have you? Do you go through people's glove boxes when you get in their car? Have you ever done that?
Only if I'm not, if they're not my friends and I'm not like supposed to be in their car.
Have you ever opened them and seen a pair of gloves in there?
Never. I've never even kept a pair of gloves. That's why I call it a jockey box, because I'm always jockeying through it. It's like, hey, what do you got in your jockey box? Mm-hmm. I don't know, just jockey through it. You got any gloves in there? No, those are in my glove compartment.
Yep. A lot of people use them for napkins.
It's a napkin.
It's like
holder.
A napkin dispenser.
Yeah, yeah. You should just have one sticking out to where you could pull it out and the next one comes out, kind of like a dispenser. Yeah. If you could set it up, yeah, that'd
you
be
could
awesome.
Because you could just take that little thing off where the keyhole is and then just feed it through where the keyhole thing is.
Keyhole. Mm-hmm. Keyhole. Who's Ed Keyhole?
Keyhole Capers. Is Edward, that a thing? Keystone Capers.
Edward Keyhole. Oh, he's a...
Edward Keyhole Hands?
Keyhole. Hey, stick it through the keyhole. Remember when keyholes used to be big enough to stick stuff through? Like, we've got some old doors at my house that are like the skeleton key
the
doors.
Skeleton keys.
Oh, man. Stick it through the keyhole.
Yep, every key worked the same.
I just had to keep saying that because now I remembered who he is, Edward Keyhole. He's a tattoo artist from the Bend area.
You might, did you have keyholes or skeleton keys on your front doors when you were younger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to put a regular lock on it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, when, you know.
But we did have a key ring with some skeleton keys on it. They were dead keys.
Huh.
They were just skeletons.
Huh.
They were just bony little things.
Yep.
And then keyhole. I'm just going to say keyhole. Hey, let's not forget to thank our awesome sponsors, Pizza Now. They're awesome. We're going to eat some of that later.
I ate there a couple times this week. Flames said, hey, let's go to Pizza Now yesterday. Zach.
Oh, yeah, and in case anybody might have forgot. Oh, no, you couldn't have because we said it in the intro.
Uh-huh.
Our guest couldn't make it today. Eric Alexander Moore. We'll know not to book him any more.
Hey-o.
No, he had something come up.
Yeah.
I guess it was his penis, and then he had to go home and whack off.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, Eric. No, we'd like to have you back on the show.
Sure.
Just let us know.
He's a musician as well, and he likes alternative and different types of music, I think.
Really?
Should be good to have him on the show, but yeah, I'm going to make him wait at least 3 months.
You should tell him to come prepared with maybe a rock star voice or something for him.
Yeah.
Skidding.
Yeah, and also maybe bring his acoustic guitar, and he could play us a song in studio.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Now we're on to something.
Yep.
Hey, if you guys want to come on our show, I even posted on Facebook, but nobody even liked it. Made me feel bad. I almost just stayed home today.
If you want to come on our show,
fuck you.
What you do is you start playing our show on your phone, right? Over the internet, and then you come on it.
Ooh. But as Seth Milstein said, if you come on your phone, you just wipe it off and keep using it. But if you drop your phone in a piss bowl full of piss in the toilet, you're getting a new phone.
Yeah.
Now, I might have that backwards. I know you don't listen anymore, Seth, because you don't have a podcast about podcasts. I guess they don't have that podcast anymore. No more podcasts about podcasts.
That sucks.
Podcast cast. You know what the last episode that's still up and right at the top of the list?
Ours.
Terry and Getch. Terry and Getch. And they're like, hey, Terry and Getch, they were on that same podcast as Marc Maron.
Yeah.
And Carmen Esposito and all these like popular people that they snagged up at Bridgetown.
Huh?
But whatever.
That sucks that they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, and I still don't know what happened. I don't want to pry, but I'm going to.
Either way, Seth should be doing some sort of podcast.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's working a 40-hour a week job still and doing his comedy shows, I think a couple per month that he's producing down there in Eugene.
Dude, Bill Burr wakes up on Monday mornings and drives down to some fucking parking lot and records in his car for an hour and puts it up online.
Perfect.
Bam, that's all you need to fucking do.
That's right.
And then he later fucking works it out into a fucking masterpiece of a set and takes it on a special.
Very nice. I like Bill Burr, and I was happy to see him in Breaking Bad in a recurring role.
Yeah, it was good.
And that fat Lavelle guy.
Speaking of guys that you want to see in, well, shows that you don't want to see. You ever have that conundrum? You want to watch an actor, but you don't want to watch the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Sean Saves the World. You familiar with that new show?
No.
It's got that Will and Grace guy as the main guy.
Never heard of it.
Will and Grace?
I've never heard of the new show.
Yeah, but you know Will and Grace, the main guy, right? But he plays...
The main gay?
Yeah, he plays a divorced gay guy in this show with a kid. But he's divorced from his wife. A long time. But Tom Lennon is his boss.
Oh, they were talking about that on the Jeselnik Offensive when he said he had a new series coming out on NBC.
And, so I watched it for the Tom Lennon. And Tom Lennon plays an unrelenting, unforgiving boss.
Good.
A villainous boss.
All
which is good for him. You know, but I don't know if the show's going to hold for me.
Yeah, probably not. I didn't think it sounded very... too interesting, but whatever.
The Michael J. Fox show, though, I mean, that's got some funny moments in it.
I've heard some reviews
from
about that. Same
Breaking Bad, Hank's wife,
Marie.
She's pretty funny in there. You got Bunk from The Wire. He's pretty funny. He plays like a ladies' man that's always going around. And then you got Michael J. Fox's kids that are always running around. And in one scene, his daughter. Is in the whole episode's about how she's taken a photography class and she's taken nude photographs of men.
Ah.
And ends up talking her mom into photographing nude. there's some funny jokes in there.
Right on. I'll check it out. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet, but I've heard some good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, you know, well, it's a sitcom.
Yeah.
It's in a different league.
It's just going to sit there and be calm. Mm-hmm. Sit calm. That's what I always tell my godson. Sit calm. I'm going to watch a sitcom. Quit running around like a fucking moron. All right, you idiot. Hey, go to iTunes, and if that's not where you're listening now, go there and just write us a review if you have iTunes. If not, download it. We need it. It'll help us be number one in the world. Also, go to tagcastpodcast.com, click on the donate button, and give us a dollar, 50 cents, 20 bucks, 17,500. I don't care. Give us whatever you can afford and that you feel in your heart that you should do so. And Han said he's been doing some Amazon shopping and that he is the one that ordered the throat singing DVD. But really? Here's the weird kicker.
Okay, has he been throat singing?
No, but check this out.
All right.
He ordered it before we talked about it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he thought that we must have known that he ordered it, and that's why we were talking about it. But that's not why we were talking about it. We're talking about it because we're in sync with our fucking listeners.
Mm-hmm, that is all true. Right. That is true.
So thanks for listening, Hans, and thanks for your local donation that you did again.
Well, Hans, yeah. Well, okay, so I'm going to, if he made a recent purchase, I'm going to assume that purchase was from him.
The throat that singing one?
No.
Oh, anything that we talk, any purchase.
You buy some books, I'm going to gather.
Yeah. He likes to read.
Right on.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. Cool.
Yep. Thanks, Hans. And thanks, everybody, for listening on this Monday. I call it a stuffy Monday. Some people call it stormy Monday. It was sunny yesterday. I was sweating a little bit. I got offered to go cut some free wood, but I had priorities, man. I had to record this podcast, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then I woke up sick and thought, oh, don't have a babysitter, and I'm sick.
What about those companies? Because they recently came and trimmed my trees around the power lines.
Yeah.
Can you get wood that way? Just go.
I think they'd take it with them.
Huh. And I was thinking about that afterwards as I was cleaning up the little tiny branches that fall off my tree.
Right.
The other day, I was like, well, I should have probably just had them throw them in the corner of the yard because somebody probably could have used them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Possibly. Just depends. And if it's just now cut, you're going to have to wait to burn it till like next year anyway. So, because you got to season that shit just like a good steak or some ribs.
Pepper.
Yeah.
You put pepper on your wood? Does it like
I usually use Lowry's seasoning salt.
Huh.
Lowry's.
That would make the house smell good.
Oh, man. It smells like
Johnny's seasoning salt.
Sometimes I throw a piece of bacon right on my piece of whatever I was talking about.
Firewood?
Yeah, that's it. Firewood.
That would be good. Just throw a slice of bacon in there and just let it just fucking...
I'm delirious on Dave Quill.
Ah.
Hey, happy birthday, Dave Quill Foresight. Again, buddy. Have a good one. Party down. Go to the Knitting Factory. Go to a metal show or something.
Yeah, do it.
And then come back and listen to our show. Terry Gatch, comedy show.
I'm Dave Quill on.
My name is Dave. Dave Quill. Metal.
No, my name is Dave. Ooh, Dave. Alright, I understand.
Fucking sick of this shit. October 10th through 13th, it's Following the Darkness Festival with Orange Goblin on the 11th at Mississippi Studios in Portland. It's 4 days from Thursday through Saturday and Sunday too. Also, October 11th, Diamond Head and Raven at the Hawthorne Theater with our friends in the Nether Regions opening up. They're from the pubic area. October 13th, Creator and Overkill at the Hawthorne Theater. The next night, Dave Chappelle at McDonald Theater in Eugene. He's going to have a breakdown on stage. That's October 14th. I don't guarantee it, though. Okay, October 15th, Guar and Whitechapel. Who knows? Maybe they'll do a Billy Ocean cover. That's up in Portland on the 15th of October. On my daughter's birthday, October 17th, it's Deicide and Broken Hope. I think I'll take her to that since she's going to be having a baby in like 2 days after that. Deicide's good for inducing labor. Hawthorne Theater, $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Let's take a break now. October 19th, Sick Man Bikini and Slow Motion Pornography at the Dixie Creek Saloon for the second annual Willamette Valley Local Music Scene's second anniversary fucking party thing. I don't even know what it's called, but it's free. Starts at 9 o'clock. It's at the Dixie Creek Saloon in Tangent. October 26th at Sambon's Garage. That's a Saturday night. It's kind of in the afternoon, late afternoon. 5 o'clock early show at Sambon's Garage. 4th and Blair in Eugene. Bleeping funny, where us comics bleep ourselves so you don't fucking have to. I won't be saying that word there. November 5th, Rob Zombie and Korn at the Yakima, Washington Yakima thing. It's a place in Yakima that has concerts. I don't know what it's called, so you'll have to look it up. November 11th, Lamb of God, Testament, and Killswitch Engage at Kent, Washington thingamajigger place where they have concerts. Don't know where that is either. Because I'm delirious. Okay, here's what I wanted to get to. Let me pull back the curtains.
November 26th, Morbid Angel and our friends in World of Lies will be opening the show. That's like a Thursday night, but that's okay. It's Morbid Angel. You want to go. They're going to be playing their complete 94 release, Covenant, in its entirety. Maybe it was 93 because it's, yeah, it's a 20-year anniversary thing. So they're going to play that album all the way through. They're going to take a break and come back and play some more. Seasons of Suffering will be opening, too. They're from Bend. So local bands getting to open for Morbid Angel. That's kind of cool. Pearl Jam's playing the Rose Garden. Tickets are probably $5 million, and you'll be like 8 miles from the stage. So you should go see that November 29th. And then January 17th in 2014, Dirty Rotten Imbeciles coming back to Portland. I believe it's at the Hawthorne Theater. You got lots of time to check it out because that's a ways off. World of Lies is also opening that show. Snagging all the good opening slots. How are you doing that, Tony? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to go home and blow my head off.
I'd like to strongly advise, I would like to strongly encourage you to purchase your tickets by the May 6th deadline.
Oh, for what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And if you don't, you're not going to get tickets.
Yep.
Because you got to beat that deadline. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for listening to the shoe. Please put it back on because it stinks in here. See how delirious I am? Dave Quill. We'll talk to you guys on the next day that you listen to us. Okay, thanks, bye. Love you. Frank, quit playing a solo now. See, I talked fast on that one. I'm already done. Faded out.